morning and welcome to the breakfast show here on Faith FM with Scaffy and Lawson. This is the right table for you to start your day with positive and uplifting thoughts. This is May 7 at 7:05 a.m. And if you'd like to send us a message, a Bible question, or interact with us at any time, the number is 0491-064-669. I am here in the studio today with Brian at the decks. And of course, Lawson here right in front of me. Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Oi, good morning.
Did you know what happened 313 years ago on May 7th of 1711? So the Scottish philosopher David Hume, known for his philosophical empiricism and skepticism, was born in Edinburgh. So this is my quote of the day. A true skeptic is one who is skeptic about his own skepticism.
Oh, deep.
Okay, you want me to say that again?
Is that something that Hume said?
No.
No, it's something but that you said.
No, not me. I heard that from a friend of mine, and I tried to look online to see if there's any authorship to that quote, and apparently it's not. So I'll give the credit to Pastor Rodrigo Silva in Brazil. And I'll say that again. A true skeptic is one who is skeptical even about his own skepticism. And I think that this says this. In other words, you have all the rights to question things. We all do. But We should not just question things for the sake of questioning and being non-committal with that truth, which has the greatest possibility, the greatest evidence to support it, to back it up. So a true skeptical, he will investigate the claims, he will investigate data, he will investigate evidence, and he will be concluded to that evidence that fits best reality.
Absolutely.
And in today's show, we're going to have some good news from Lawson. We're going to be talking about some new details that have emerged from the weekend's stabbing in Western Australia by the 16-year-old. In our interview, Brian, we're going to be talking about, did Jesus believe in creation? And our topic for today's Bible study is a sort of controversial one. It's going to be talking about what happens to those who have not heard of Jesus at death. So that and more in today's show.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
We have a question to you, listener, this morning. But before that, I also wanted to ask a question. So we have a quiz and a question, okay? So the question is the following. Do you currently or have you ever volunteered somewhere?
Good question.
Have you been? Are you engaged with any social project, or is there any social project or place that you would like to volunteer someday? Let us know. We would love to hear your volunteering experiences and stories. 0491-064-669. And Lawson, what's the quiz of the day?
Yeah, the first quiz question for today. Complete this verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, blank, blank, blank. Again, the law of the Lord is perfect, blank, blank, blank. If you know the answer to this one, 0491-064-669 is the number to text. You will go into the draw to win a Revive Cafe cookbook of your choice. We want to give you one for free. There's 8 volumes of them. You can, you know, maybe you're completely unfamiliar with the Revive Cafe cookbooks by Jeremy Dixon, someone who we get on the show semi-regularly to contribute. Maybe you're unfamiliar. Well, hey, you can just pick 1 through 8, or maybe, you know, pick your favorite number out of those ones. But these are amazing, healthy, tasty, plant-based cookbooks that will be a huge blessing to you. Again, complete the verse. The law of the Lord is perfect, blank, blank, blank. 0491-064-669. Hey, I also got to say, to your question, I very much, like, got a start in pretty much all the work that I'm doing, the direction of my life at the moment, because of volunteer work. And, well, it was voluntarily working for churches. I did a bunch of work, actually, for Faith FM in the beginning, volunteer. Now I'm a tenured employee of our beautiful radio station. But Yeah, no, I was keen originally just to work for churches, and then the opportunity for radio come up, and I just said, hey, look, this is something I want to do because I felt God had called me to do it, and now it's pretty much my career.
There's just a special blessing, doesn't it, when we do something for someone else without any, you know, financial interest involved.
Yeah, I can very much see that. Like, I put a lot of time in doing volunteering, and now I have opportunities to do whatever I want and be supported. And it was really good at a time when I'm like 18, 19, 20, 21. Like, I'm not married or have kids or have many overheads or whatever it may be. And so it was the perfect time to kind of sink my life into, you know, doing volunteer work. And I feel like I grew a lot as a person as well. Like, now I'm at uni, and you could say, oh, okay, you know, that's a bit, like, I'm at 25 at uni, a bit later than a lot of the kids coming through, but I feel like I have the ability to do that, to handle that, and to have a handle over my own life. And that all came from the volunteer work that I started in. It really built my character and gave me a firm and solid foundation, especially volunteering for the Lord, like doing church work. Like, it's such a blessing.
Yes. And now sometimes people ask, hey, what would you do if you weren't paid to do? And I'd say, man, I'll just totally come and volunteer at churches.
Oh, this is the best.
Share about Jesus with people, study the Bible with them. This thing just like really fills my heart. That's nothing that I enjoy more than, you know, talking about Jesus
with
people. That's the true, you know, those who know me, I think, would be able to say a similar thing. So Lawson, why don't you bring to us this morning anything interesting from the field of positive news?
Getting some funny texts in this morning, but hey, we'll get to those a little bit later. Good news. Dude, I saw the most gnarly video ever this morning. Like, something so crazy that probably one of the craziest things I've seen happen in a church. Now, we've been confronted with some pretty hectic church videos recently, which is, you know, like Bishop Mari Mari.
I think I know exactly what you're going to be talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to be talking about it in my section. But you can talk about it now. Let's talk about
it
now.
Okay, let's talk about it now. Yeah. Dude, well, you can give us some good insight. This is wild. So there is a pastor. His name is Glenn.
Germany.
Glenn That's Germany. Right. He's like preaching in church. You know, just preaching it up, you know, talking about God. And in this video, like the live stream is filming him, this guy walks into the frame, pulls out a firearm and aims it at him and goes to shoot him. And the gun jams at the front of the church. Like, he goes to pull the trigger and shoot him. And the gun jams. And while he's standing there, I think there was a moment of realization for Pastor Germany, and he just like rolls onto the floor, rolls behind the pulpit. The deacon runs up behind the guy with the gun and tackles him to the ground. They subdue him and pull the gun from him. It's amazing. It's an amazing video. And they are like full well attributing this to an amazing miracle that has taken place in this case. And what I thought was particularly interesting was the motivation shared by the gunman as to why he was doing this. Which,
tell us about it.
Well, essentially, Polite was this guy's last name.
Yeah. Which is a bit of a interesting name.
Yeah, that's right. And
for that circumstance,
Glenn Germany goes and talks to Bernard Polite. They let him into like the holding cell in the police station to talk to him, and because Glenn Germany, the pastor, like, wanted to do so. He's a pastor. He's a counselor. He's like, I just want to talk to this guy. And he goes in and talks to him. And essentially what this gunman says is, yeah, I had voices telling me to do it. I had voices that were communicating me and telling me that I needed to shoot someone today. I needed to shoot someone. And it felt as though, you know, the pastor was the right person to shoot. They were doing something against what the voices wanted. And unfortunately as well, they have discovered actually the body of someone whose last name is also Polite. And now they're trying to, Derek Polite, I should say, and they're trying to understand whether they're related to Bernard Polite. This is like unfolding news. This is happening right now. Uh-huh. But yeah, this story is absolutely wild.
And this is a few things here. So Pastor Germany said that he forgave him.
Yes.
He forgave him, said, look, I forgive you, you know, for what you've done. And praise the Lord about that. I want to say a couple of things about that. But he said, hey, this man is clearly struggling with mental health, serious mental health issues here.
Yeah, for sure.
And this is a thing as well. Maybe one day, if the listeners, you know, if your listener is interested, let us know. Send me a message. You know, we can talk a little bit about, the Bible talks a lot about people that have been possessed by demons. And how do we differentiate that from, for example, mental health illness? You know, because there's definitely similarities with that. And for example, schizophrenia. Mm. How do we discern between the two? Well, the Bible has a few things to say about that. And I think that not a lot of people are aware of these things. But so the gun didn't fire. The Lord preserved his life. And which makes me think of a few passages, Lawson. Mm. And there's one passage in Mark, in the end of Mark. You know, it says that, you know, for those who are going to share the gospel, they will be bitten by venomous serpents and they will not die. And
there's
some promises. And what makes me think is that if you're sharing the gospel, it does not mean that you're never going to die. Does not mean that, you know, you cannot lose your life for whatever reason. However, it makes me think that those who give their lives to Jesus in whatever capacity.
Yeah.
Because I believe that we are all ministers. You know, I want to challenge that definition that a minister is someone that is working paid for a church. A minister is a servant. It's someone who has a life of service.
That's right. And the Bible even calls us like a nation of priests.
A nation of priests. So one of my observations when I first heard that story, Lawson, was that, you know, when our lives are given wholly and fully to Jesus, it means that our lives are also in his hand. We die or we live by his desire, by his will.
Sure.
That means that, well, isn't that true with everyone? No, I don't think it is, because if you do not have the Lord Jesus as your Savior in your life, you know, you don't know if the things that happen to you, they happen out of randomness or they happen because of God's providence. Sometimes they can do both. But for those who love Jesus, the Bible says, in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says that all things cooperate for good for those who love the Lord, who love Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you said.
We'll never die in vain if that's the case. So God protects us in a very special way when we serve him. And I think that that story would be just another little evidence to that fact, that when we have Jesus in our heart, our life belongs to him. And if we stay or if we go, well, it is up to him, and he decides when that happens. And if it's not our time to go, if the Lord is not finished with us yet, well, he'll let us live.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And the question that we were asking as well is, have you volunteered in the past? Do you volunteer currently, or do you plan to volunteer somewhere in the future or to participate in some kind of service? Let us know, 0491-064-669. And now we have the second quiz of the day, which is this. What is it, Lawson?
Hey, which of the four Gospels was written to Theophilus? Simple there. There's one of the four Gospels that opens different from the other ones. The other ones are like, you know, kind of accounts. Well, they're all accounts, including this one. But one of them doesn't open with, in the beginning was the word. One of them opens with, oh, friend, Theophilus, I wrote you this and I want you to read it. So, hey, if you know which one that is, 0491-064-669. That is the number to text.
And we have a few messages coming through here, Lawson. Wayne said, good morning, Lawson and Joseph. Blessings. Thank you for yesterday about the butler and baker. Another piece of the jigsaw is put into place. Does this scripture and a resemblance of Jesus the Lamb riding colt of a donkey? Exodus chapter 34, verse 20, it says, but the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Thank you. Wow. You know, I never thought about that. I never saw that passage with that lens, but I think that he might be onto there here, Lawson.
Mate, putting the pieces together.
Putting the pieces together. Thank you, love Wayne. That. Appreciate your message. Sky said, hello, I'm up with the birds too this morning, getting my steps up. Good on you, Sky. When I heard Lawson has good news, I was hoping he would announce an engagement. Please if it does happen, can someone let me know so I can send a congrats card and something else? Of course we will, Sky. You will be among the first people to know here. We will announce here. We're going to have a whole show on Lawson's engagement. So,
man, I got to say, when that happens,
look, we can talk about the biblical concept of engagement. We can talk about the news about engagements of famous people in the world.
Amen.
We'll make a big celebration here.
It'll be the engagement week. It'll be the engagement month.
We can do like Lawson, I'll give you an idea. If you ended up, you know, getting engaged and marrying. Can you do like a 7-day feast, just like in the Bible times? How we celebrate over seven days?
I'd love to.
I think it would be epic. And maybe we can invite, you know, our listener to come.
I'd love to do like an every night, you know, like I wouldn't do 7 days straight, like every meal, but like, let's say 7 days every night, I get different groups of friends over and we hang out. That'd be cool.
It would be really cool. And I think we can record some snippets and play here on the news. It could be like the news of the day. I don't know. I'm just like so excited about that. That's great. Thanks, Kai, for your message. Now, Lawson, I wanted to follow up a little bit on yesterday's interview. Yeah. The news that we shared about the 16-year-old boy who stabbed someone in the back at a Bunnings car park and unfortunately was shot dead by the police. So it was a very tragic story, whatever way you look at that. And there were some news, developing and coming from that. So it apparently he is a person from white or Caucasian ethnicity background, but was convert to Islam.
Mm.
Okay. So that's number one thing. The second thing is we mentioned about the police in various states, including Western Australia, and I know here in New South Wales as well, they have a de-radicalization program. Well, the New South Wales one is called Step Together, and it's called it's about preventing violent extremism from developing for, you know, particularly in people that might be vulnerable to these kinds of ideas. So we mentioned here, we were wondering what kind of de-radicalization program is this? You know, are you just like sitting down with the police and they're trying to say something to you? And I want to apologize in public because the reality is I didn't know. And so I went there and did some research and it looks like they actually have, you know, a local imams to, you know, to walk together, to talk, to develop a connection with these young people or otherwise. They have psychologists that talk to them. They do talk with, and I believe that there are authorities that come, they visit you. Part of that de-radicalization program for this boy included restricted access to the internet. So his phone was not allowed to have any internet. That's good. I do not know if that means that he didn't have any access to any Wi-Fi everywhere. Because that was something to say. And the police said, look, no de-radicalization program is 100% effective. And it's true. So I just wanted to apologize if the way that I said yesterday, made it seem that, it was just a pro forma program with no religious component to it. So, yeah, so here are my apologies to the police and to those who run this program. So it is more comprehensive than I imagined. This is one thing. Then the second thing was that according to Sheikh Mohammed Shakib, he's the Western Australia's most senior imam, Brian, he met with the imam who was helping the boy, and he said that imam was in absolute shock.
Mm.
And I'll tell you this, you know, to those who are in this kind of pastoral ministry, and I know that is for a fact in the religious circles, but I'm pretty sure it would be the same for any other religion, for the Muslims, for the Hindus, Jewish. Like, you develop a bond with those to whom you minister that is very deep.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's very deep. This is why religious occupations are, I believe, a calling. Because you are emotionally invested in the deepest aspects of one person's life, which is their spiritual views. So when something like that happens, and I have had in my experience lost in ministering, you know, investing all of my, putting all my effort, all my love, all my prayers and my time in people, and then and seeing them falling away in different ways. And,
yeah,
you know, it's not something that you can just, you know, some jobs, it's great. It's go, you go to the office 9 a.m., 5, you go back home and you don't take anything. You don't bring anything with you to home. Yeah. It's great. But this is not true with spiritual work.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was working full time in church work, before coming and, you know, getting into my degree proper over the last couple of years, most of our work was happening from like 5 p.m. till 10 p.m. at night. I was getting home afterwards because that would be the time in which we're meeting with people, eating with them and whatnot. And I can wholeheartedly sympathize and agree with those feelings, those sentiments of seeing young guys get baptized, you know, studying the Bible with them, seeing their lives change, seeing them get baptized. And then seeing them get caught up in some sin or addiction or whatever it may be, and to see them not walk with the Lord anymore because of that, it's and you're there and you're like trying to help them, you're trying to give them advice, saying, "Hey, I'm here for you. Let me pray for you. Like I'm a shoulder that can carry this burden." But then you can't stop someone's choice, right? So, like,
yes.
Then yeah, seeing them fall away.
There is a song, a secular song that I think has beautiful lyrics. It's called "How to Save a Life."
Oh, classic! This is my that's my childhood.
How to save a life? And the story behind this song is that the singer was volunteering at a drug recovery clinic, and he became friends with this guy, and he became his like mate.
Mm.
And one day he showed up, and he learned that that person, you know, ended up ending his
own
life. And then he just basically wrote this song. Say, hey, you know, could I have done anything different if I stayed up all night with you? Could I have saved your life? And he was just dealing with this struggle. Say, hey, could I have done something? Could I have done anything else to save a life? That's the lyric of it. That's actually a beautiful song. Mm. It's quite heartfelt and deep.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
Right now, we're going to get into our next quiz question proper here. What term did Jesus use to describe the temple when he cleared it of the money changers? Now, this is a multiple choice, guys, so follow me here. A, a den of lions. B, a den of robbers. D, whitewashed tomb. Or C, a den of vipers. 0491-064-669. This one is tricky. Like, if you know the story, you know the answer. But at the same time, it's like, all of these examples are biblical allusions here. I'm pretty sure, like, all of these examples come from a Bible story or a different Bible story. Again, what did Jesus use to describe the temple when he cleared it of money changer? Was it A, a den of lions, B, a den of robbers? Sorry, I should say A, den of lions, B, den of robbers, C, a whitewashed tomb, or D, a den of vipers? If you know the answer to that one, 0491-064-669. What kind of place was it? If you know the answer, again, 0491-064-669. Our prize for this week, a Revive Cafe cookbook of your choice.
Can I just say, Lawson, just let me give you an example of what Revive cookbook is. You can choose from any of them. So I have here in front of me the Revive cookbook number 8. It features 23 amazing breakfast recipes, including things such as strawberry French toast, berry buckwheat waffles, and overnight mango oats. So these are things that you can prepare ahead of time. You know, you can prepare the day before, eat it in the morning. It's delicious. It's healthy. It's great for you. So here's one of the examples that you can choose, the Revive Cafe Cookbook 8, the one that has amazing breakfast recipes. And now it's the time to our interview. And today we have here with us Dr. John Anderson. And Dr. John, he is a speaker for Creation Ministries International. Mm. He's a former naval medical officer and retired medical GP. And he's going to be talking to us a little bit about the question, was Jesus a creationist? Did he believe in the literality of the book of Genesis? Welcome and good morning to you, Dr. John.
Yes, good morning, Joseph. Lovely to be with you.
Likewise. So, Dr. John, you know, lots of people, and they say that the book of Genesis is a book full of myths. They look at some Old Testament stories that are miraculous. They say, hey, you know, this could not possibly have happened. But for Christians that are walking in the steps of Jesus and want to believe what Jesus believed, can we say that? What did Jesus think about, you know, stories such as, you know, the ones found in Genesis, Noah's Ark, or other Old Testament stories like, you know, Jonah and the big fish? Do you have anything to bring to us this morning?
Yes, Joseph. Look, I think that's it's a very good question. And when people discuss the world's view about creation as against the biblical view, what we tend to do is say, well, this is the world's view, and this is the Bible's view, and there's a certain amount of evidence to support this one or that one, and they leave it to the listener to make up their own mind.
Okay.
But really, that's not good enough, because we don't want to be making up our mind just on the basis of our probabilities. We want to know what's the truth. And really, when we want to know what the truth, the best person to ask really is Jesus himself, because he said he was the truth. And the truth is, he does address many of those questions about creation. For example, he says in the book of, he doesn't say it in the book of Genesis, but he says that at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. So he's not saying that we might have evolved from a couple of fairly well-advanced apes, or a couple of 100,000 years ago where humanity migrated out of Africa. He said God created. And although he doesn't mention Adam and Eve by name, he does speak of the murder of Abel by Cain in a couple of instances. And, of course, if we look at that evidence of the murder of Abel and Cain, they are described as the first two children on earth, and obviously they had parents, and their parents, he clearly believed, were Adam and Eve. But when we get on to
which is this passage? Which one is the reference for the Abel and Cain story?
He says it in at least two of the Gospels.
Okay,
I'm not going to be able to quote you chapter and verse, but I can assure you they are there.
Yes,
but the other things that he does talk about, I think one of the most interesting ones is when he talks about Noah and the flood. Because he's talking about both in the first three Gospels anyway, he's talking about the times of... Yeah,
sorry, but I found it here, Dr. John. Matthew 23:35. Jesus says, from the blood of Rachel's Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, and so on. So he mentions him here, yeah.
Yes, thank you for that. But when we talk about his reference to Noah and the flood, he's speaking about the conditions on earth when he's about to return.
Okay.
And he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it's going to be when I return. And he said that people were going about their normal life. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying and giving in marriage. But the day that Noah entered the ark, then the flood came and destroyed them all. Mm-hmm. And he clearly believes that it was a global flood, not a local flood, or as the secular world believes, no
Very
flood
interesting.
At all. So,
that's a good point.
So he clearly believed that. And he also mentions in Luke's gospel, he makes the comparison at the same time, the time of his return, with what happened with the destruction.
Dr. John, are you there? Sorry.
People were going about their normal business. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the day that Lot went out of Sodom, fire and brimstone rained from heaven and destroyed them all. Now, Jesus clearly believed that was an historic event. He doesn't mention the reason for that historic event, but you can be quite sure that he actually did believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come to the other That's very true. Contentious issue, the one about Jonah being swallowed by a great fish.
Yes.
Jesus compares the 3 days that Jonah spent in the belly of the fish with the 3 days that he's going to be in the tomb after his crucifixion. Now, I mean, there's no doubt that he would not be referring to any mythical story. He obviously believed that Jonah had actually been swallowed by that fish and spent 3 days in it. So,
very interesting.
Quite clearly, Jesus was definitely authenticating as true history all of those events: the flood, the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the story of Jonah and the great fish. So I think we can deduce a lot of other things too from what Jesus said. I mean, even when we go back to what we spoke about before, how he said from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Now, he's only allowing for two genders, not the multitude of genders that we seem to want to accept these days. Mm-hmm. And he also says that after that quote, he says, "For this reason, a man should leave his father and mother and be cleaved to his wife, and the two become one flesh." So he doesn't really allow for any other form of marriage, which, of course, the secular world wants to do today.
Yeah, and it is interesting that a lot of Christian churches are taking this idea on board as well. In my opinion, in contradiction to the scriptures, I do not know if you've seen, but over the past couple of days, Dr. John, the United Methodist Church worldwide, they changed their own definition of marriage. And now they're saying that a marriage is between two persons, and they change it from a man and a woman, and they open up, you know, let's say their theology to include that pluralism of gender identity and so on. So why do so many, Christians and even churches, they are espousing these views that relativizing the creation accounts from the scriptures?
Well, look, I think they're losing sight of who Jesus really was. And I think we have to go back to the descriptions of him, whereas a lot of people say, look, this is one view and this is another view and you can make up your own mind. Jesus didn't talk like that. He was the most authoritative figure who ever walked the earth. And people were amazed because he didn't say this is one view and this is another. He said, this is what you've been told, but I'm telling you. So he was very, very authoritative. And yes, they were amazed at the tone of his voice because he acted as if he absolutely knew what he was talking about. And of course, I think as Christians, we can say we do believe that Jesus did know what he's talking about.
That is because that doesn't leave us. Sorry to interrupt that. So that doesn't leave us with many options. Either Jesus was very arrogant, or he was who he said he was. He was the Son of God and the source and author of truth.
That's right. And of course, he demonstrated the truth of his ability. I mean, when he took upon himself the power to forgive sins, and that was questioned, well, he said, look, what's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up, take up your bed and walk?
Yes.
And he said, so that you know that I've got the power to forgive sins, he said to the guy, take up your bed and walk, and he did.
Wow.
So I think you can say that he really did demonstrate by his actions.
He backed up his claims.
The authority that he did have.
Yes.
And the other interesting thing, and I think we should pay attention to this too, Joseph, that he claims that on the day of judgment, he is going to be the judge and jury, and we're all going to have a personal interview with him. So I think we really do need to know what he's going to say. And there's a great passage in Daniel chapter 7, I think, about that day of judgment.
Yes.
When the courts are opened and the courts are seated and the books are opened. And it then describes him coming as one like the Son of Man on the clouds of heaven. And of course, that's the expression that he used about himself when he was accused before the chief priests. he said, I am that Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. And that's the reason why they demanded that he be executed, because they regarded that as absolute blasphemy. Yes. He took upon himself the description of that person in Daniel 7. Chapter 7, who then receives the eternal kingdom. So I think we've got to be very, very careful within Christianity of questioning anything that Jesus referred to. And I mean, you mentioned the issue of marriage in certain groups in the Christian church. I think we've got to also look at issues like the flood of Noah. He clearly believed that it was global. The description is global. But a lot of Christian groups want to water that down as well and make it a local flood. But you can't get that from the description in Genesis chapter 6. It is clearly a global flood that encompasses the whole earth, and it says that every person who was not in the ark with Noah perished in that flood. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there's just no room for any different interpretations of those passages. And I believe that we can look to Jesus for a very, very definite interpretation of them.
Yes, I believe that these passages are indeed very, very clear. Thank you very much, Dr. John. And we have only a few seconds left, Dr. John, about 20 seconds. Do you have any final remarks that you'd like to leave with our listener this morning?
Yeah, well, look, yes, I think I would say that one of the things that we are going to need to do more and more in what I believe are these last days is put our trust in what that Bible that we have actually says. What God promises in the Bible is absolutely true. And we are heading for, I believe, some dark days, and we will need to trust him implicitly. And the promises that he gives about that trust are all there, and we need to believe them.
Amen. I agree with that. Dr. John Emerson, thank you very much for your participation today, and we're looking forward to have you with us another time.
My pleasure, Joseph. Great to have been on board.
God bless you.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Skews, health psychologist, and you can hear me every Wednesday morning talking about mental and spiritual health on Faith FM. Now, at the end of this month, I'm giving away 5 free counselling sessions that are worth over $500. I do telehealth sessions, so it doesn't matter where you live, as I can phone or use a video. Whether you're struggling with personal challenges and changes in your life or suffer from mood or stress disorders, I can give you support and teach you the skills you need to have a better quality of life. To enter the draw for your free sessions, simply text us on 0491 064 669 with the word healing. Don't miss this chance to take a step towards a healthier, happier you. The first 100 messages will also receive a free special gift from Faith FM. So send your text today to 0491 064 669 with the word healing to enter the draw.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.